And good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? I messed up, Star. I forgot something. I always, anytime anybody gets up here to speak in front of everybody and say something, I always have some really encouraging words. And I've said this so many times, but I didn't get to say it to you this morning. It would have made you feel more comfortable as you walked up here. Don't worry. Don't worry, Star, that when you come up here, it's only people's salvation on the line that we're. So, comfort, peace, easier to get up here, but I messed up. I should have said it. I want to thank everybody for coming up this morning and help Lee Tyler, you and Aaron, for helping lead. Jacob, you too. I know you're here all the time, you know. Once again, please be in prayer for the McDaniels as we have are going to be able to soon see one of our new brothers in Christ, hopefully one day, has been born this week. And from everything I've gathered, healthy. Does he look more like Natasha or Caleb? Is he good looking or... Okay, so he looks like Natasha, and be in prayer for them as Natasha's healing and as they are bonding closer as a family. Be in prayer as Elijah is out in New Orleans. Did I say it right, or does it need a little more twang? New Orleans. As he's in New Orleans, and then if anybody doesn't know, we had Ralton send him out this week. He had an awesome time. Looks like he came back with a little bit of tan from proclaiming the gospel at Trenton Street. And also one of my good buddies that came last week and on Wednesday night, he is proclaiming the gospel in Wartburg this morning, Brandon Helton. So please be in prayer for him. We've got people all over the country, literally, at this point, that are working for God's glory, and I just ask that you keep them in your prayers. We're getting ready to send out missionaries, and we just got all kinds of things going on, and I'm so excited to get into that point. One of the things we said when we started Fireside is we do not want to be a church that is here and literally as stoic as a building, right? And we're going to get into that a little bit more. Some of us eventually, we've ran into that point where we like grow roots into our pew seats, right? And when we become like a permanent fixture in the seat, and that is not what God calls us to do. He calls us to gather here, to make a game plan, and then to go out and proclaim the gospel, for us to be here and to fellowship. But the most important thing is that we don't just hide the gospel here in this physical building, that we go out and we proclaim the gospel. As you guys go to your homes today and everything, and as we listen to the message today, realize, take it in, that this isn't something just for us to just let go in and one ear and out the other, for us to be able to go on to Facebook and check off, hey, went to church today, I'm super Christian, you know. And if you're like beyond super Christian, may come to Sunday school or whatever, that's not the point. The point is to take God's word and to multiply it, to share it, to go out and ensure that people are hearing what God has said to us. So, as we go in, we're going through the book of Hebrews. We are two chapters into, we have finished, completed. That's why I don't use notes, Roman. That's why. We are two chapters completed in our studies. We are starting in chapter 3. I am really encouraged in the discussions that go on, the questions people are asking, hey, what went on here? How did that go? Really encouraged by that. So continue on. Have your questions ready, and I would love to discuss them with you. So let's get started in chapter 3, starting verse 1. We're going to go 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was in all God's household. For Jesus is considered worthy of more glory than Moses. just as the builder has more honor than the house. Now every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household as a testimony to what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over his household. And we are the household if we hold on to our confidence and the hope in which we boast. Let's pray. Lord God, as we dive into your words, Lord, I ask that anything that that is proclaimed here, that it be your word, Lord, that you put the breath in me that comes out, Lord, and that you not only speak, but you give us the ability to take in and to listen and to take that word and to change not only our lives, but to be able to go out and proclaim the gospel and help change the lives of others, Lord. Allow us to not just grow into this stage of just being content, but to have us a yearning and a burning to know you more, Lord. Allow us to go out and share the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, as we're talking about everything that's going on here in the book of Hebrews, we talked last week about where Jesus had suffered, and the week previous about how Jesus was considered one of our, we are considered a brother in him, and that makes us family. And we talked about how Jesus is fully man and fully God. We've talked about how Jesus is greater than the angels, and all of these things seem really easy for us to understand at this point, right? Like we've studied them, we understand them, we've dove in, but we've got to put our mindset back and we have to click in each week as we go through the book of Hebrews and realize that the writer of the book of Hebrews is doing this for a purpose. And we talk about the purpose being, and we've said this each and every week, is that we had Christians that are coming or growing from the Jewish faith into Christianity, right? Now they are kind of sliding back just a little bit, and they're trying to take some of the old things that they did in Jewish customs and some of the Jewish laws, and they're kind of separating a little bit in their knowledge and then their faith in Jesus. The Jewish church is pulling them back away from Jesus. So as an encouragement, the writer of Hebrews has wrote down and tried to explain first and foremost who Jesus is. See, as Christians, if we don't understand who Jesus is, then nothing else makes sense, including who we are, doesn't make sense. We can't fully understand who we are if we do not understand who Christ was and is. We can't understand purpose. We can't understand death. We can't understand life. We can't understand the next steps if we don't understand exactly who Jesus is. And then we get confused. We start walking around aimlessly. When we don't have purpose and understanding, we walk around aimlessly wondering, where do I go next? Do I fit in? How do I make it the next step? Where do I go from here? Kind of sounds like that time for those of us that are a little bit older, kind of like we were in middle and high school, right? We just went around aimlessly trying to figure out who we were. We were willing to do things to kind of fit in. Some of you guys, you younger guys are in that stage, right? And you're trying to figure out where you fit into society, who your friends are, what the expectation is. The problem is when we get into that mindset of not understanding because we just think of everything worldly, we come to a place where we just find out that we're lost. We don't understand our purpose. We don't understand our understanding. And we start grabbing on to anything and taking it in. This is what these Christians were doing. They knew what Jesus had done. They had, some of them may have even heard direct stories, maybe even partially could have seen people that were there and all these things that pointed directly to Christ. They could have been there, but they've kind of lost sight and went back to what used to be, what was comfortable and what fit, and they've kind of lost sight on Jesus, and now they're wandering along aimlessly. They don't quite fit into the Jewish church, but they also don't fully understand Christ, so they're in this middle ground of just confusion. I'm here to tell you that when you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that confusion of what your purpose is, what your value is, goes away. That doesn't mean that you know exactly what the next step is, but you do know the direction. The direction points to the foot of the cross. It doesn't always mean that everything just becomes easy. Quite honestly, it's the exact opposite. That when you start living for Christ in the same way that if these Christians here would have just stuck to Christ, that the world and everything that was set up in it may have attacked them, and we will have those same things. The coolest and greatest part about it is we know the future, we know the ending, and we can have hope in that ending. As we go in and we're called once again, holy brothers, this first verse, holy brothers and sisters, this first verse actually fits a little bit more with chapter 2, but it flows right into why it's so important, why we should follow Christ. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling. This isn't just anybody, it says who shares in the heavenly calling. In order to be a brother to Jesus, and we said this is not a sexist remark, to be a brother would have in this time shared in the inheritance of Christ, which would have been salvation, which was only meant for the oldest son, that inheritance. Each and every one of us are considered brothers in Christ if we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So as inheritor of salvation, he's talking to us. Some of us say, well, man, I'm just not that confident. I don't know exactly where my place is in the church. I don't know where my place is in a relationship with Jesus. I love him, but I just don't know. Therefore, I'm just going to step back and I'm going to do my own thing. And when we do that, when we step back and we take our focus off, we get lost again. Whenever you are a brother, you are family. You are cared for. You are loved. And that's why the next word here, that word consider. Consider. Now, this word consider isn't when my wife and I were driving home Friday night, and a deer decided that it really liked the front of her van. So it became intimately close at a higher rate of speed with the front of our van. And any bad relationship, the van came out in rough shape than the deer, right? They didn't have a good relationship, so they came into a situation. And my buddy Chad has been saying, hey, you need to get your wife a new car. You need to get a new car, right? This word consider isn't like, hey, I really like the Ford over here. And somebody comes up and said, hey, you know, I know you like the Ford, but have you considered the Dodge? It's not that type of considered. It's not just aimlessly like, hey, I just like the color or the style, or maybe that's got a little bit more horsepower, or, whatever words found on the road dead Ford stands for, or whatever words that you come up with. This isn't just something that you just throw out there and say, have you considered something else? This word considered, if we go back into the Greek, is actually the word katanoeo. And I know Elijah's going to come back and say, hey, you didn't say it exactly right. But I'm just going to tell you, katanoeo, and I'm going to say it like I know it, okay? I'm in the Greek class. I'm starting to learn these things. But that word, katanoeo, actually means to have your attention on or to have continuous awareness of. It's not just like, have you thought about? It's to have your full attention on, your full awareness on. Not have you thought about Jesus? Like, hey, you're going through a hard time. You know what? Have you thought about that church thing? That may help you. That's not what he's saying here. It says, consider, put consideration, put close attention, dive into Jesus. Remember what you proclaimed when you proclaimed Jesus as your Savior. Continuously think about him in the hard times, in the good times. Dive in to Jesus. Don't just put him as an afterthought or as an idea. Have you considered Jesus in your personal life? Have you considered him? This word is not just something that we have to throw around lightly. This is something that we have to go in. We have to study and investigate. We take the scriptures and we go back. Even in the Old Testament, he would have called for the Jews to go in, and the writer would have said, have you gone in? Have you read the Old Testament scriptures? Have you studied what the law is? Have you studied what everyone else was proclaiming? And have you looked into it? Because if you did, it doesn't matter if you start in Genesis or you go into the Psalms, if you go anywhere in there, in between, everything points to Jesus. If you were considering Jesus, if you were putting your attention, your focus on Jesus, everything points to Jesus. You can't just follow a third of the story. You can't just say everything pointed to Jesus, but now he's here, and now he's coming back, but we don't want to worry about the now he's here and he's coming back. Let's just go back to the beginning. See, isn't that the worst part? Anybody ever watched a movie, and the movie was like going along real good, right? And you're watching this movie, it's going along great, and then all of a sudden, like, it gets to an action scene and everything's going on and there's a big fight, and then boom, it just ends. And everybody was really excited until we got there and the movie just ended. If we only believe in the Old Testament, if we only believe that Jesus will one day be here, and we don't see Jesus is here and among us and he is coming back, then the whole story just doesn't make sense. Everything led up to a point to that to be continued, and you just sit in this place of, just doesn't make sense. However, here is Jesus. He has walked with some of these people. He has talked. He has shared everything that the Bible or the scriptures foretold about Jesus have come true. He has entered death and came out of it on the other side. He was resurrected. He has taken the fullness of our sin. He healed people. All of those things. Have you considered Jesus in your personal life? And he goes in just a little bit farther and he says, calls Jesus the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Now these two words, this word apostle is a sent one, right? It's someone sent to proclaim God's message. Jesus was sent here as man to proclaim that he was the Son of God. So not only does he proclaim God, he is God proclaiming himself. There is no greater apostle than the one that was sent here that is he. The I Am. He is here. So if any of us, even having a direct conversation with God as we go into, like Moses does in that great direct conversation, right? So if I come into a situation and Brian comes in and Brian says, hey, well, I know we want this family life center and I'm going to build this family life center one day. I am going to pay for it. I am going to construct it. I am going to show you how to get it done. And I come in and tell you guys, hey, I directly spoke to Brian about how he plans on doing this. It doesn't have as much meaning as if Brian comes in here himself and says, this is what I'm going to do. That's why Jesus is considered the great apostle. Not only was he sent here to proclaim the message, he was the message. And he goes in and also states that he is the high priest of our confession. And that high priest, if we go back in time, a priest's job would have been to go in and take the sacrifice, right? And they would have shared with us what that sacrifice needed to be. They would proclaim, they would have taken the sacrifice in, they would have done the sacrificing. All of that is a priest's job. However, not only do we have Jesus here as being the great priest that is there for the sacrifice, he is himself the sacrifice. He is not only the priest, but he is the sacrifice. It's how much he cares and he loves for us. He's here to proclaim who he is, but his words aren't empty words. They are action words. Not only does he proclaim who he is, but he places himself in a situation for the sacrifice, and then he also sacrifices himself for us. Nobody else has done all of these things like Jesus did. As a matter of fact, they go in just a little bit farther and they start talking about somebody else that was an apostle that also pointed to what God was doing, but also was a priest. So he would go out and make atonements for people. He would go out and do these things for people. He starts talking about Moses. He said, he was faithful in the one who appointed him, just as Moses was in all of God's household. Now, if you have that word household there in your Bible, some of you may have the word house, right? If you're reading a King James Version, it has the word house. These words right here are very important for us to actually go back and look what the true meaning of that word house was, right? As we go out and we study those, we look at the word oikos. And that word oikos is actually better translated here in the CSB because it's not just the word house, it's the word household. Right? So if anybody is trying to confused on what this is, does anybody get into, I know Chad and I do, get into like colognes, right? If you get into colognes, it's something that we still do today, and you get into cologne, you'll see that this cologne was part of the house of, let's say, the house of Galloway, right? That means it came from this household, this group, this is where it was from. However, in our culture, as we read this, we start talking about God's house, and we start talking about the physical structure in which we meet. So I'm here to tell you, if we had an option here, one of the things that we do, actually, let's get out of the option. Let's say that somebody's house caught on fire and it burnt down. The first question that we have isn't, is the house okay? The first question that we usually have is, was everybody out of the house? Because everybody, the importance of the house is not the actual building structure itself. It is the people that occupy the building structure. That word house is actually translated household. It's not talking about the actual building that Fireside's in. It's not talking about the pews or the walls or the roof. It's actually talking about you and me that are meeting here in this building. You are the house of Jesus. Part of being the house of Jesus is that when we look at that and we tie in that household and those words and the occupation of that house, that Jesus is not only among us, not only does he walk among us, he actually resides in us. We are his, not just someone wandering in his presence. We are his. He is not only among us, but in us. So is Moses. Just as Moses was in all of God's household. See, the Jews at this time would have thought of Moses as so much higher. He was the bringer of the law, right? He was wasn't the author of the law. There's a much different thing in being an author and a bringer, right? An author shows authority. A bringer of the law is a servant. Moses was a servant. Jesus is not. Jesus is a son. Jesus is the author. Everybody thinks of Moses as so high in those two words, the apostle and the high priest, because Moses was the only person in the Old Testament that literally did both. He's the only one that did both. So therefore, Moses was considered much greater than anybody else. Well, I'm here to tell you, a servant is a servant, right? And even though Moses is great, he is infinitely small compared to Christ Jesus. The greatest preachers, the greatest evangelists, the greatest pastors, the greatest Sunday school teachers that you've ever had, they may have changed your life in your opinion, but they weren't the ones that changed your life. It was the Word of God. It was God's Spirit. It was God who changed our life. Yet He uses servants to do so. And yet these Jews were in some ways worshiping Moses. Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible that we had today. He led his people out of Egypt, right? They were looking for somebody that was going to come in and conquer. And even though he showed all of these miracles and he was released to be able to take his people to the promised land and to be able to do those sort of things, let's not forget that the guiding fire on which direction to go was God. It wasn't Moses. He looked up into the hills and he spoke to God asking direction in the same way we do. God was just speaking to him at that time. Don't forget, as the seas were parted, it was not Moses that parted the seas, it was God. Don't forget that also as Moses led his people into the seas, that God stepped back from leading to defending and hid behind, or didn't hide, he set up behind them, separating them from the dangers. It wasn't Moses back there fighting off Pharaoh and his people. It wasn't Moses out there physically touching the water. It wasn't Moses out there physically performing the miracles. It was God using Moses as a servant for God to perform those miracles. That's why we always have to make sure that when our pastors get up to speak, that when our teachers get up to speak, that they are not speaking from their own desires and their own ideas, but that we go in and we search the scriptures, that whenever we read or we listen to somebody else proclaiming the gospel, that we go in and say, I need to read that for myself. God, give me the knowledge if this is you, or if this is my pastor, or if this is me, or if this is this evangelist or this author. God, let me know the truth in your word. Don't let me know what somebody else's opinion is of the Bible. Let me know your word. Let me know your truth. As great as Moses was still flawed. Jesus was not. We go in, for Jesus considered worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder has more honor than the house. Now, every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. So now we've got this next description, right? Of who God is and who Jesus is. The Bible also tells us that Jesus is the cornerstone of the foundation. So as God was taking and building his house, as he was building his household, you and me, he set the cornerstone, being Jesus as the cornerstone. And the cornerstone was used to guide the rest of the foundation. Without a solid cornerstone, everything else was aimless. Everything else was lost. And the house was weak, and the house would eventually stumble, but the cornerstone had to be the strongest part of the house. The angles were set off the cornerstone. The cornerstone told the rest of the foundation what to do. Jesus is our cornerstone. The apostles are everything else that's laid out that Jesus gives the direction to. The ones that are sent out to help hold up the rest of the house, the rest of the household. If the cornerstone is absent, everything else fails. I'm telling you here today that Moses could come back and walk this earth, and he could come in and set up a church in downtown Knoxville or Kingston or wherever it is, and he could proclaim the gospel and he could do all these things. But if Jesus isn't involved, if God isn't the one building the household, it will fail. I don't care how passionate or how loving or how caring a pastor is, if he isn't being led by Christ, the church will fail. It can look like it could be 25,000 members strong and have millions of dollars and have the greatest sounding motivational speaking that you've ever heard, and they could change people's temporary lives. But if God is not involved, then there is nothing but failure. If the foundation isn't set on the cornerstone, if our household, if us as brothers and sisters in Christ aren't set from Jesus, if we aren't guided by Jesus, the rest will fall. So we go in just a little bit farther. It says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household as a testimony to what would be said in the future. So Moses, here again, told to be a servant, as being a servant. These Jews would have thought of him as so much more, but God is humbling him in their presence as he is a servant. He is not something. He is not something equal to Jesus. He is still a servant. And he goes in and says, but Christ was faithful as a son over his household. Christ, being fully man, came in and it proclaims him as his household and as a son. We are not Moses' household. We are not some great evangelist's household. We are not, you are not Kirill Galloway's household. You're not. We are all equally Christ's household. We are all equally brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to get out of this mindset of putting people on pedestals. The only thing that we should look up to is Christ. We only follow, Paul says, act as me or imitate me as I am an imitator of Christ. The only reason that we would imitate somebody else is because they themselves are imitating Christ. And we want to follow in the imitation of Christ, not in the imitation of man. And it ends with something beautiful, and I have this picture. It says, and we are the household if we hold on to our confidence and the hope in which we boast. And as I was reading one of the commentaries, that word is, if we hold on to our confidence, the description was of seeing a flag in the middle of battle. Well, one of my favorite people that has ever been a part of my life, one of the movies that we watched, my Uncle Dan and I watched a movie called The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Has anybody ever seen that movie, The Patriot? Talking about the Revolutionary War and the way that they went in and fought. But in the end of that show, and sorry if it's a spoiler, but in the end of that show or that movie, Mel Gibson starts looking around in the last battle that they have, and he starts looking around and he sees everybody just losing confidence in the game plan, start losing their ability to think that they can succeed, and they start looking at the wounds in their legs or their arms, they start looking at the death around them, and they start seeing all that. And the only way that he has is he sees all of this, time stops for a little bit, and as he looks around, he sees the American flag, and he runs up and he grabs it and he waves the American flag, and people's eyes come off of the death and look at the hope in something new, something greater. My question is, when we look at that confidence, Are we as Christians waving the cross? Are we proclaiming Jesus? When we look around in our communities or in our households or wherever we are and we see all the death and the destruction and the pain and we see our physical ailments and people hurting and people in hospitals and people passing away and all of these things, when we see those things, do we start focusing on all of those things, or is somebody here going to grab the cross and proclaim Christ so that the rest of us can look up with confidence and know that even if we pass away on this battlefield today, Jesus and the hope in Christ is forever. That what we have is temporary pain. In the same way that Mel Gibson's character crosses that hill and goes back into battle, he knows that that day may be the end of the time for him here on this earth, but yet the legacy, that what he is leaving behind, means so much more than himself. My question is our lives, is our relationship with Jesus, is what we do as Christians about more than our personal selves? Is it about more than our personal lives? Are we willing to give up what we have and bear the cross? Are we willing to carry that cross daily? And when we see our brothers hurting, are we willing to point them to the foot of that cross? Are we willing to pick them up in the hardest points and say, yes, we may not make it physically out of today, but we serve a God that gives us eternity, that gives us salvation, and gives it to us freely through grace? Are we willing to proclaim the gospel? Are we willing to be something different? Are we willing to act as though the thing that we claim to be, that this God that we claim to serve, are we willing to allow that to rule and to govern and to decide who we are? Or do we want to make him as something that we want to serve? Right? I've heard so many people say, if that's the type of God he is, I don't want to serve him. That is one of the most dangerous, scary things that you can say. Because if you truly read in and you investigate the gospel, he did not ask you to make up who he is. He is asking and telling you that he is going to tell you who you are and what you should look like. Have confidence in knowing that you were created intimately, that you were created lovingly, that you were created in a way that we should point to Christ. If you don't know who Jesus is today, then I'm here to proclaim that God, the creator of the entire universe, sent his son that was fully God and fully man to this earth to be able to take the fullness of our sins, those sins being the things that separate us from Christ, the things that are opposite of what he needs. He sent his son to pay a debt, our debt that we could not pay, so that we could have eternal salvation, eternal life through Jesus. Have confidence in knowing who Jesus is. Have confidence in knowing that you are a part of his house. Have confidence in knowing that if we follow the cornerstone, that he will lead us and build us in the right direction. Have confidence in knowing that he is greater than any man could ever be. And have confidence in knowing that being servants, we are also heirs to the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the ability to proclaim the gospel, Lord, but I also thank you for the gospel, that you sent your son, that you sent Jesus here, the gospel, so that we could serve you in going out and proclaiming you to the world. Lord, if anybody here doesn't know who you are, I ask that you lead them into salvation, that you guide them into salvation, that you allow them to have the faith needed to do so, Lord, but that you don't just stop at that salvation, that you use all of your house to be able to go out and disciple them, to be able to help grow them in you, Lord. That it just doesn't stop with salvation, but it stops whenever eternity stops, Lord, which is never, that we always grow and seek you more and more and more. I thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.